Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Also a writer over at BourbonStreetShots.com, where I've actually got an article up about the Pelicans' defensive rebounding struggles. And welcome to a new era of Pelicans basketball, the Wayne Selden era. I'm just kidding, though he did make his first start last night against the Portland Trail Blazers. The Pelicans are now, when he starts, 1-0. With some pretty good numbers, to be honest. Overall, on the game, the Pelicans put up a 106.2 offensive rating, gave up a defensive rating of just 80.7 for a nice 25.5 net rating. So overall, very, very good night for the Pelicans. Going to recap this one here for you on the podcast today. Preview the Miami game that's coming up tonight. Pelicans immediately back on the road, second night of a back-to-back, second one on the road. Those are always going to be a little bit tough. So we'll get you prepped for that game, get you set, and hopefully the Pelicans can make it a two-game winning streak. So the Pelicans 100-77 win over the Portland Trail Blazers. And like I said yesterday's podcast, was that they needed to win this one if they want to try and even still be serious about the playoffs. Portland, the eighth seed's coming down to Portland or Denver, most likely. And all of a sudden, now you have five games remaining against both of those two teams combined, three against Denver, two against Portland, now one against Portland. And if you can go 5-0 and then play a little bit above 500 basketball the rest of the way, you can probably get in. Well, of those five games, Pels are now 1-0 and on their in the right direction, at least with it. So good win for them, big win. They had a 28-point lead at one point. And overall, I don't know if this was just a really good Pelicans win or a really bad Portland loss. I don't know if those are the same thing here. But overall on the night, I mean, Portland shot terribly. They shot just 30.3% from the field. When you're going to do that, as Pelicans fans know, you probably know, you're not going to win very many games. They shot, like I said, 30.3% on the night. Pel shot 47.5%, so you got a 17.2% difference there. Not good. Pel's only made 6 three-pointers, whereas Portland shot 34.4% from three. They actually shot better from three than they did from the field overall, which goes to show you how bad they were when it came to shooting. Portland, as I pointed out on Twitter, is, I think, the 26th, 28th worst defensive team in the league, and it really showed. So the Pels only turned the ball over five total times. So when Portland can't shoot and Pels aren't going to turn over the ball, you're going to make their life really hard. Five total times, which is pretty great. The Pels' big two right now, we're going to call it, of Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, combined for 37 points, 24 rebounds. So not like an explosive night from either one of those two, though. DeMarcus Cousins closed out the first half on an absolute tear. Davis actually went to the locker room with an ankle injury. They took some x-rays, came back negative. That's always a good thing. He came back, started the second half, seemed kind of gimpy to begin with, but clearly was fine overall, especially as witnessed from the, you know, the Crescent City Connection. You're going to end up calling that alley-oop probably. But it was the alley-oop where DeMarcus Cousins at the top of the three-point line lofted a ball over to Anthony Davis, who did like a 360 reverse dunk that was absolutely insane. If you haven't seen that, you absolutely need to go check it out and just watch it over and over and over and over and over again. But the two didn't combine for a huge night. It wasn't like they each put up 24 points or something like that. 25 points, scored over 50 combined, 60 points combined. They just did what they needed to do in this game and actually got their teammates a little bit more involved. All of a sudden, you look at this game and there's, six players in double figures, which if the Pelicans can get six in double figures, they have a very good chance of winning a game. Normally, it's two, three at the most. So getting double that, triple that, is going to only be a good thing. Solomon Hill shot 4-5 from the field, 12 points. Before the game, Alvin Gentry had said, you know, he's talked to Solomon Hill about being more than just a spot-up shooter. You saw it in the Charlotte game where he attacked the rim and wasn't really content just to take corner threes. If he got the ball, he needed to be aggressive. He did the same. Of his four shots, two were at the rim. Two were outside shots. So it was nice to see. Of the four he made, two were at the rim, two were outside shots, took five overall. And the outside shots were three. So all of a sudden, you're seeing a little bit better shot selection from him. Threes are attacking the rim, and attacking the rim is huge. It keeps more pressure on defenses, forces them to move and shift over and rotate, which takes the double team off Anthony Davis or DeMarcus Cousins. Wayne Selden, in his start, didn't do much. He did score 2 points, got to the line. That was kind of cool. Good for him. First NBA career points if he becomes a Hall of Famer. I can say I saw his first points ever scored, although I think the chances of me ever really saying that way down the line are pretty much non-existent. Drew Holiday had a weird game overall. He did score in double figures, but it was just 10 points, only notched 2 assists on the night. He was kind of just not there, it seemed like, in terms of when you were watching the game. And I don't know, and they don't have the advanced box score up or the player tracking data yet for the on the NBA.com stats page, which I really wanted to see to try and get an idea of what he did. Like, I don't remember him doing much throughout the game, and so I can't tell you if he was passing the ball a lot and just trying to get teammates more involved and trying to be a pure point guard, which he's not, and which we've seen not really work for him, or if it was something else. So a bit of an odd game for him. He did shoot 4 of 6 on the night. He clearly wasn't trying to take that many shots. So I really don't know what went on there. Need to rewatch the game and try and figure out what happened there. Each one more off the bench chipped in 11 points. Didn't make a three, which is a bit odd. His shooting can get, I guess, streak. I don't know what it is where you just like to see him be like this knockdown, on fire perimeter shooter, but he's not. But he scored, and he did it in efficient ways. He was driving. He's got that strong floater game where he just kind of pops it up like that. And look, he scored. That's all that matters. Got into double figures. Dante Cunningham, who's fighting off an illness, scored 6 points. He's helping. It's more than two. It's more than 3 points. That's always a good thing. Jordan Crawford, 13 points. It looks like the Pels, you know, probably need to seriously consider bringing him back next year to kind of be a spark plug off the bench. He was 5 of 11. 2 of 5 from deep, including a three to end the third quarter that was like 38 feet or something like that. So off the bench, he's been great for the Pelicans. You know, I don't know what it is, but Alvin Gentry was full of praise for him pregame, saying, you know, he's got, I think, 3 triple-doubles in his career in the NBA, and that's 3 more than Anthony Davis has. So shows you he can score. Tim Frazier scored 7 points. Alexei Ginza chipped in 2. But overall, you're getting way more help from everyone else around the Pelicans, big 2.5, 3, whatever you want to call them right now, in Drew Holiday, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis. And if you can get this help from these guys, you can see this team win. It's always been that. I've been saying, if Solomon Hill can start putting up near 10 points, along with Dante Cunningham and each one more, this team's going to fire off a winning streak. And unfortunately, it just might be too little, too late. Some other things of note from this game. Basically, the Pelicans just absolutely controlled it. The only person on Portland who scored really anything was Damian Lillard. He had 29. And then Shabazz Napier had 10. Those are 2 guys in double figures. And the second one was 10. reminds you of Pelicans' performances with Anthony Davis before Cousins came here, where they got just no help overall. Held Portland to just 18 points in the paint, a lot of that due to DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis. On switches, they were really good against guards, preventing guards from driving and getting into the lane and attacking the basket, forcing Portland to settle for a lot of jumpers. And I don't watch a ton of Portland basketball, but if you're settling for a lot of mid-range twos, other shots like that, you're not going to end up winning a whole lot of games. And that's what they forced Portland to do. So it's not just that Portland shot poorly, but it's that the Pelicans forced them to take not great shots. And I was really hoping to see the contested shot data, and hopefully that comes out a little bit later today, and I can tweet about it and get it up there for you guys. But overall, good defensive showing by the Pelicans. Also of note, only 5 fast break points scored by the Pels, so only 5 points in transition this game. They did a much better job on the defensive glass, not trying to leak out. I wrote about it over on bourbonstreetshots.com and give it a look. I even made you some GIFs. And on the night, the Pelicans actually had, this number I do have, an 84.9% defensive rebounding percentage. That's great. Now, the bit of a concerning thing is when Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins were on the court, that number drops to 71.4%. But overall, as a team, they did a very good job rebounding the basketball last night. But the fast break points, only 5, shows you, you know, again, Gentry doesn't have to only have his team play in transition and out there in a run-and-gun style. They're still going to take shots early in the shot clock, but they don't necessarily need to be out there running. They can still play in the half court. You just may take early shots in the shot clock because that's just the way he wants his team to go. You know, I've never understood. And look, I'm not sold on Gentry as the head coach of this team overall and long-term, in the slightest. But I'm not ready just to immediately go, he can't coach two bigs. So that's an interesting thing with it, though. Keep an eye on those fast break points. People weren't leaking out in transition. They were trying to settle down, grab rebounds, get the ball up, and then score. Knock it out and run. So that was nice to see overall from this team. So good win. You know, can't complain with a 23-point home victory, especially one that gets you free fries from Raising Cane's. So be happy, Pelicans fans, and hopefully they can carry it over to this Miami Heat game. So I'm going to give you guys a quick preview of this game. Miami is a different team right now than they were to start the year. Since January 17th, when they beat Houston, they've only lost 5 times while running off a big winning streak and a number of other wins. So they can go out and play. They're actually 2 games under 500, 1 game under 500. I'm forgetting off the top of my head. Let me take a quick look here. They are, 3 games under 500, 9th in the Eastern Conference, but I believe they're only a game back in Milwaukee for the 8th seed. So all of a sudden, they're looking at playoff contention when they thought they were out. You know, you've got to consider Eric Spoelstra for Coach of the Year. Good defensive team. They rank 5th in the league. Offense, so-so. They play with middle-of-the-road pace and no huge, huge injuries for them. Chris Bosh hasn't played all year, so that's been okay. They are stout interior when it comes to Hassan Whiteside, when it comes to blocks and points in the paint. So Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins are going to have to work. By the way, with injuries, Goran Dragic is playing. He missed the game the other night. If you saw the picture of his eye, it looks like it's photoshopped like a smudge thing. No, it was really his eye. It's absolutely horrifying. Looked a little bit better yesterday that I saw. So he'll be available. You know, they played 2 nights, 3 nights ago. So they're going to be well rested. And, you know, it's going to be a tough game. They're, like I said, one of the better defensive teams. Take away a lot of the interior shots. It means opponents shoot poorly against them. But, you know, the Pelicans, if you can settle for good shots and maybe not take shots as early in the shot clock as you would otherwise, you can create some good open looks. They haven't faced a team that's going to be as scary on the interior as DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis are. So, you know, Whiteside can't do it alone. It should be okay. You need to be stout on the defensive boards again, as Miami is you know, in the top half of the league when it comes to offensive rebounding. They don't turn the ball over a ton. If you can just play smart, controlled basketball, not quite five turnovers good, but maybe like eight, under 10, I think the Pels have a chance to win this game. They're going to be going into this matchup with a lot of confidence, and we'll see whether or not they can get it done. So that'll do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Thank you all very much for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Please give the podcast a follow on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pel. Subscribe on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found, and give it a like on Facebook if you can. So win or lose in this game against Miami, I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.